it is well. Vital is vital, you can't rely on nobody else. Vegan, we're vegan. Plant BS, we say. Long time Rastafari. Say I day, so he day. Vital, we vital. Nah, go no way. And we root and we fruit and we vegetable all the way. Is wealth, vital is vital. You gotta take care of yourself.
All right, Lagos, good morning to you. It's 19 minutes to 10 here, Wash 94.9 FM. As you're well aware, health definitely is wealth. My name is Anthony Dalmelda, and this is Talk to a Doctor. I once again welcome you to today's episode of Talk to a Doctor. And as you know, Talk to a Doctor is that health program where doctors are saddled with the responsibility of educating you on how you can maintain a healthy lifestyle. We do this from Mondays through Friday from 9:40 till 10:40. And today we're going to be looking into a very interesting conversation that has to do with sickle cell. And there's going to be a special emphasis on sickle cell breakthrough discovery today. All right. And once again, you're welcome. And today we're going to be exploring, you know, the fascinating world of, certain medical discoveries, innovations as far as sickle cell is concerned. And we already know, talking about sickle cell, it's a disease that was, you know, identified over a century ago, but its impact, regardless of how long it's been, is still felt today. From the early struggles, you know, to understand this disease, to the groundbreaking research that has led to new treatment and hope for those affected. So today we're going to be taking a closer look, right, at the fascinating story of sickle cell discovery. I'm not doing this alone on the broadcast. And he's no stranger to the family. He's talking about Wash 94.9 FM. Our analyst today, our doctor today, is a medical director of the LA Pain Clinic in Hawthorne, California. He's board certified in anesthesia with subspecialty certification in pain medicine, California, and also is the founder of a tech startup, Exchange Mall Super App. So he has served as an advisor to the United States FDA Advisory Committee on Anesthetics and Life Support Devices. His research work from pain pharmacology to anesthetic pharmacology to inflammation and inflammatory response has greatly impacted the medical field. Lagos, welcome with me this morning, Dr. Sota Omoigu. And of course, he's also the best-selling author with drug handbooks, published in about 6 languages. And it's a pleasure having you with us this morning yet again, Dr. Sota. Good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, Anthony. Good morning to your listeners in Nigeria and to your listeners in the United States. And good evening to your listeners in Nigeria.
Great. It's good to have you join us this morning as we talk about the sickle cell breakthrough discovery. And I think it's important that we understand or have a backstory to, you know, the conversation surrounding sickle cell, you know, how it's been, you know, dealing with a lot of people over time, how we've lost people to, you know, sickle cell for over 100 years and still counting. And so let's just get a little backstory to sickle cell and also more or less an introduction into the discovery that you have for us.
Thank you very much. The recorded history of sickle cell goes back 7,300 years from the pre-dynastic era in Egypt, to the Hellenistic period at the time of Alexander the Great, to Ghana in 1690. So this has been, especially in Africa, the Middle East, the Mediterranean, and some countries in South America, for 7,300 years. So there has been no solution on this disease. But by his grace, I've come to offer a solution to a problem 7,300 years old. And I stand on the shoulders of scientists who have done research on this disease in the past 100 years. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And before we get into, you know, the discovery that you have been able to find as far as this is, you know, concerned, it's important we also understand something. Certain persons will say this has been a disease that's, you know, bedeviled the country, not just Nigeria, the world generally for, as you mentioned, over 7,300 years. So perhaps the question people want to know, Nigerians want to know, the listening public wants to know is, what is the guarantee that this is genuine, you know, and this is here to stay? Especially for something that a number of scientists over the years have not been able to find a solution to. So what is that thing that guarantees that, okay, this is the genuine article and, you know, it's here to stay?
Yes, it's just amazing that there's been numerous publications. I start with the discovery of sickle cell in 1910 by Herrick. And then in 1927, another noteworthy discovery by Hahn and Gillespie, where they found out that the sickle hemoglobin changes shape to a sickle shape in a low oxygen environment. And that became the key, that the pathology of this disease was a low oxygen environment. And it's been known for the last 100 years. In 1930s, Scrivan Wall made another critical discovery that the sickle cells could change back to a normal shape upon reoxygenation based on the partial pressure of oxygen. So the key is what happened in sickle cell is that in a low oxygen environment, the normal round discoid shape of the hemoglobin changes to a sickle shape, becomes stiff and rigid, and obstructs the tiny capillaries, meaning obstructing the blood flow to multiple organs, and these multiple and causing severe excruciating pain. The obstruction of blood flow to the bones gives you a vascular necrosis. To the kidneys, give you kidney damage, with patients going to dialysis later in life. To the lungs, give you acute chest syndrome. And to the brain gives you a stroke, so finally ending in essentially multi-organ damage and death. So what was key was that at a critical stage in this sickling process, the sickle cells are reversible with reoxygenation. So you can imagine that these sickle cells are fighting for their life in a low-oxygen environment. They're struggling to survive. And if you give them oxygen, the breath of life, they wake up, get back to the normal shape, begin to flow freely through the blood vessels. But if they don't see oxygen within the critical, which in my own research, the critical golden half hour, which is about the first 30 minutes, the cell membrane of this cell become damaged and the cells die. So this is what normally happens when the patients go into hospitals. By the time they get to the hospitals, these cells are now irreversible sickle cells. They are dead. They are obstructing the blood vessels. And the only way the blood vessels can be cleared for blood flow to resume is for the body to essentially destroy these dead cells, which is called hemolysis. And that's what leads to the anemia, because you're destroying the red blood cells and you're essentially having a drop in hemoglobin. And this is where the cascade of complications comes when you get to the hospital. The severe pain, the destruction of hemoglobin, they need blood transfusions, and on and on and on. And that has been the present paradigm of treatment of sickle cell. But with all of this research in the last 100 years, and with our own research at my clinic in Hawthorne, California, over the last 20 years, we found out that you can put control back in the hands of the patient. The patient does not need to be a helpless bystander waiting to get to the hospital to be treated and often mistreated by doctors who don't understand the pain they're going through. So therefore, if they have oxygen at home. So the key in this discovery is home oxygen, whether by a concentrator or by an oxygen cylinder. If they can administer oxygen to themselves at home, they can stop this crisis, and the crisis is resolved. They can also prevent the crisis if they have any daytime stressors, exhaustion, fatigue, high altitudes. They can put on their oxygen by nasal cannula. This is a nasal cannula. And sleep with it. And here it comes to the key aspect. I have presented this discovery to many physician forums. And what came across was that they felt that this disease was unpredictable. Now, when you feel a disease is unpredictable, then it means you have no control. And it means you cannot manage it. The patient is afraid. The doctor doesn't know what's causing the crisis. But it's predictable. There are three critical points where patients experience a low oxygen environment. One of them is during sleep, because we don't all breathe as well when we are sleeping as when we are up and about and awake. So whatever daytime stressors occur in patients with sickle cell, sleep is the most dangerous time for them, because that's when most of the crises occur. There are reports in the literature over and over, in New York Times, CNN, where patients with sickle cell are afraid to go to sleep because they think there's a demon that comes when they sleep to give them this crisis. So this is not a demon. The science has not been understood by both patients and physicians. But the literature is there. It's a phenomenon called nocturnal hypoventilation and nocturnal hypoxemia. Hargrave wrote about this and stated that nocturnal hypoxemia was a prelude to crisis. And as of last year, 2024, Chang et al. Found that 43% of sickle cell patients had nocturnal hypoxemia, and that oxygen, nighttime oxygen, will prevent inflammation and oxidative damage. In around 20 years, when people sleep with oxygen after daytime stressors, they can almost never get a crisis unless something else is going on, hemolysis or a serious infection. And if they cannot control, if the crisis doesn't resolve with oxygen, then yes, they need to go to the hospital. So that is the most critical point in sickle cell, is during sleep. Most people get refreshed by sleep, but in sickle cell is a danger to them. The other critical point where patients with sickle cell have an issue is with high altitudes and during air travel. And this has not been recognized all these years. Air travel is very, very dangerous to patients with sickle cell because aircraft are pressurized at 8,000 feet. So at that high altitude, patients with sickle cell begin to desaturate. Essentially, the oxygen level begins to drop within 10 minutes of takeoff of the aircraft. And many patients with sickle cell over the years have suffered injury, damage, complications, and even death while inside the aircraft. So the patients with sickle cell must request airlines to provide compressed medical oxygen for them to use during the flight, so because the aircraft is a low oxygen environment for them. As of right now, we have put this issue before the President Tinubu, and he has directed the Minister of Aviation, Honorable Festus Keyamo, SEN, who has set up a working group to mandate all airlines, especially United States airlines, to provide compressed medical oxygen to Nigerian sickle cell patients who request it. And then the last point where sickle cell patients face a problem is that severe pain can worsen a crisis. So if patients are having severe pain and they go to the hospital and they're getting the wrong medications, the pain causes chest splinting, which causes decreased oxygen delivery, which worsens the sickling, which worsens the crisis, which causes acute chest syndrome, which is just a prelude to more complications, which results in 25% of the mortality of patients with sickle cell. Therefore, I strongly advise that no patient ever receives pentazocin for treatment of their sickle cell crisis in any hospital in Nigeria. Pentazocin is the go-to drug, but it's of completely no effect in patients with sickle cell. It's going to prolong the crisis. It's going to result in more mortality. Patients need pure opioids like pethidine, morphine, hydromorphone, fentanyl, and also ketamine. We need to stop the use of pentazocin and tramadol in treating patients with sickle cell crisis. That is responsible for some of the mortality we see in sickle cell. In fact, pentazocin is not even approved in the United States. It also has psychiatric effects. We call that psychotomimetic effects. So it should never be used. So those are the three critical points where patients with sickle cell have essentially had more illness, more organ damage, and more mortality during sleep, in air travel and at high altitudes, and also inadequate treatment of their pain. Okay, back to you, Anthony.
Very well said, Dr. Sota. That was extensively buttressed, and appreciate your thought. So, Lagos, Nigeria, we just got into the discovery, and we're going to be getting more clarity here from Dr. Sota as we continue to talk about the sickle cell breakthrough discovery. And there's a lot we want to understand. There's a lot of questions I presume you want to ask as far as this is concerned. You can tell how passionate, because his passion is quite evident, you know, with what he had to say, with what we're looking into this morning. And I even want to ask you, Dr. Sota, looking into your purview, yes, being medical director at the Los Angeles Pain Clinic in Hawthorne, California, and I'd want to know what exactly, you know, drives the motive, or what drives your passion, especially for, you know, conversations as such. I don't know, that you might have been affected by it, or you know someone who might have been affected by it that has, you know, that is driving this, you know, passion, this zeal to towards this this research discovery.
Well, the passion is that it's essentially an illness that major pharmaceutical companies have failed to solve, a big pharma. And some of their previous medications have pointed to the role of oxygen in treating sickle cell. The problem is that they were looking for a medication when the gas was staring right at them in their face. If you look at one of the biggest discoveries, hydroxyurea, which has been used, but which doesn't stop a crisis, hydroxyurea essentially increases the production of hemoglobin F. And what is hemoglobin F? Is a fetal hemoglobin, which evolved because the uterine environment during pregnancy is a low oxygen environment for the fetus. So that low oxygen environment, hemoglobin F, increases the oxygen affinity of the hemoglobin of the fetus. So that way, the fetus does not suffer any low oxygen environment. The same thing with another blockbuster drug, unfortunately, has been withdrawn, which is Oxbryta, Boxelotto. that was the first drug to provide more oxygen at the molecular level by increasing the hemoglobin-oxygen dissociation curve of the sickle hemoglobin. However, it also did not stop a crisis. Once again, they were looking for medications when the solution was the gas. There's no medication that you swallow by mouth that can reoxygenate the sickle cells. It has to be a gas that acts within a few seconds. Then we have a blockbuster drug, $665 million drug, called Adagvio, came out in 2019. Well, the whole principle of Adagvio was to inhibit the inflammation when the sickle cells are dead and stick to the lining of the blood vessels. And then there's an inflammatory cascade that follows there. But the drug could have been predicted to be a failure because they failed to stop the most critical point, which is the hemoglobin of the sickle cell in a low oxygen environment changing shape. So 4 years later, this $665 million drug was withdrawn from Europe and withdrawn from the UK. It's still on life support in the United States. And why was it withdrawn? Because people on Adagio had more crisis than those on placebo. And all they need to do was to look at the basic science. The solution to this disease has been hiding in plain sight for the last 100 years. So what I came was to take the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle from all the various research, put the pieces together, and create a picture. And that was a picture of a simple solution to a 7,300-year problem, which is early home oxygen. And the reason medical science missed this solution in the last 100 years is that by the time the patient gets to the hospital, the reversible sickle cells are now irreversible. They no longer respond to oxygen, and they now cause all the severe symptoms, morbidity and mortality of the disease. So that was the whole reason why it's been missed all these years. So I have come to change the paradigm from medicine waiting for patients to have a crisis to the patient being able to prevent and stop the crisis by themselves at home.
It brings me to the next question, yeah? Because just as you mentioned, over the years, you know, treatment of sickle cell always saw the patient visit the hospitals. You're preferring for a proactive in-home method, right? Which would see to perhaps reducing hospitalizations. So the question is, how do you hope to achieve this? And is it possible to attain full treatment from home? And you also talked about the oxygen. And would also want to understand what role does that oxygen concentrator play, especially in managing sickle cell disease at home?
First of all, our website is sicklecelldiscovery.com. And your listeners can check on the website as this program is going on, and they can also check on it after the program.
Okay.
And on the website, they can find a link to a WhatsApp group. It's also called Sickle Cell Discovery. And right now, it's one of the biggest WhatsApp groups at almost 900 members. And on the website, they can find a link where they can join the WhatsApp group, and they can, where I share the discovery and I respond to questions there. So the issue here is that either by an oxygen cylinder or an oxygen concentrator. An oxygen concentrator is simply a device. It's almost like having a mini oxygen plant in your home. It takes in air, removes nitrogen, and the rest is oxygen. And if you remember your science class, the air you breathe is made of oxygen and nitrogen and 1% of rare gases. So that's what a concentrator does. It's probably about 650,000 naira, but it lasts about 3 to 4 years, and it can be obtained from some of your medical supply places in Nigeria. On our website, sicklecelldiscovery.com, I do put a list of a couple of suppliers where people can go and get in Lagos and Abuja. And we're always looking for more suppliers that we can add to the website where people can go and get these oxygen concentrators. The key thing with these concentrators, and I always advise people, avoid the cheap Chinese ones, because the sieve bed, that's a filter that removes the nitrogen molecule, is very cheap, and the oxygen purity drops at high flow rates. So you want a concentrator that gives you oxygen. You only need 1.5 to 2 liters per minute, continuous flow. It cannot be pulse dose. Pulse dose requires an inspiration before it delivers oxygen, and that doesn't work. So it must have an oxygen purity of 93 plus or minus 3% at all flow rates. And if you have a rechargeable battery, especially in a country like Nigeria, where the power supply is unreliable. Now, for those who can afford concentrators, they can purchase an oxygen cylinder, preferably the bigger ones that will give them more oxygen for a longer period of time. And those cylinders, I believe, initial cost are about 150,000 naira. But refill of those cylinders comes from 15,000 to 30,000 naira every 2 or 3 months. Oxygen is actually the cheapest medication for any chronic medical condition. Price comes to about $1 a week, whether it's for the concentrator or for the cylinder. The cylinder may be more expensive, the concentrator may be more expensive upfront, but long term, lasting 3 to 4 years, is actually cheaper. But I always tell people on our WhatsApp group, if you think oxygen is expensive, the price of hospitalization, pain and suffering, multi-organ damage, and death is much, much higher. And so, yes, so that's how patients have control. And I can tell you, on our WhatsApp group, we've had almost 30 to 40 of members who've gone to purchase their own concentrators and oxygen cylinders. And it's the same story for all of them. People who used to be having hospitalizations every 2 months are going free of hospitalizations for 6 months, 1 year, in our own experience, 3 to 5 years. So people are already experiencing the benefit of this discovery. Thank you.
That's actually fantastic news, but I also want to get some clarity. Looking at the oxygen cylinder, the oxygen concentrator, besides the rate of both, can one be used instead of one? And what exactly are the differences?
Well, the problem with an oxygen cylinder is that you need to refill it because it's a compressed gas inside the cylinder. So as you're using it, the amount of gas is dropping. So when it gets to the end, then you have to call the oxygen supplier to come and refill the cylinder. But unlike a concentrator, it's like you have your own mini oxygen plant. And so you are the one generating your own oxygen. So you don't need anybody to come and refill it for you. And it lasts 3 to 5 years. So I have information on both of them on the website, sicklecelldiscovery.com.
Good to know. That's good to know. So Lagos, Nigeria, let's get talking. You have questions on sickle cell discovery. You want answers. You can reach out this morning via studio line 0906-099-2609. That's the number to connect with us on this morning, 0906-099-2609. And you speak directly with Dr. Sota. You can also reach out via text and WhatsApp for more information, 0915-849-4949. We're looking into the situation that has to do with the sickle cell breakthrough discovery. And Dr. Sota, you mentioned earlier the golden half hour. I think perhaps for those that might have missed out on that, or for those that might not necessarily understand, yeah, they can also do all the check up the website. I'll still do all to point that out, you know, before we call it a day on the conversation. But then, what exactly does the Golden Half Hour refer to?
Well, the whole the sequence of events in a low oxygen environment is that the sickle hemoglobin is a normal round discoid shape. In a low oxygen environment, it changes to a sickle shape. And that's the shape that becomes rigid and blocks the capillaries. Now, the key in this discovery, which has been buttressed by numerous scientific articles in the last 100 years, is that that initial sickling phase is reversible. The sickling is because of a low oxygen environment. The cells are struggling. They're trying to survive. They're dying. But if they see oxygen before they die, they recover and come back to normal. And that's the golden half hour. There's a time in our own research where we found out that if the oxygen is used within that period, there's a much greater likelihood that those reversible sickle cells will come back to normal and the crisis ends. The crisis is over. It doesn't come back. But if those dying sickle cells do not see oxygen, they die. Their cell membrane is damaged. They are dead. And they obstruct the blood vessels. And no oxygen after that is bringing them back. And that's when these patients are showing up in the hospital, the reversible sickle cells have already become irreversible. And so that's why I call this current medical paradigm MAD, M-A-D, medicine after death, because the sickle cells have died. They are never coming back. They have to be destroyed. So that's the current paradigm that has caused so much pain, suffering, organ damage, and death in 7,300 years. And I have come to change that paradigm to a proactive paradigm where when patients feel they've had stressors, and the stressors can be different. They can be physical stressors like high altitude, sleep. They can be intellectual stressors like students reading for exams. They can be environmental stressors like cold. Once they know they have stressors, the sickle cell crisis is waiting for them when they go to sleep. But if they sleep with oxygen, the crisis never happens. And if for any reason they forget to sleep with oxygen, the moment they have a crisis and they put the oxygen on within that golden half hour, the crisis is also over. So the solution here is so simple. It brings the control back to the patient. Now, in the United States in 2016, the cost of treatment of sickle cell crisis was $860 million. In our clinical practice and in our practice with, and what we see in those members on our WhatsApp group who have purchased cylinders or concentrators, hospitalization has dropped more than 90%. So you can imagine the economic savings for these patients by having home oxygen. So it is. It makes a whole lot of difference to them. And always remember, a crisis is not a crisis of a single patient. It's a crisis of the entire family. Because when the patient is in a hospital, the mother can't go to the market. The husband, the father can't go to work. It's a crisis of the entire family. So what I'm doing by this discovery is to save lives and change lives.
Very well done, Dr. Sota. And so besides this, you know, allow me to say, monumentous, you know, research discovery as far as sickle cell is concerned, what then would you say, how would you explain the difference between certain traditional means of treating sickle cell and this approach that you've been able to discover?
Well, the traditional methods of sickle cell was that this whole research has been overlooked. And this whole research, there has been a clinical trial of oxygen in 1992 by Zepowski et al. In Canada, where they gave patients in crisis 50% oxygen and found out that it only reduced the reversible sickle cells, it restored the reversible sickle cells back to normal, but had no effect on irreversible sickle cells, none. And this was Zepowski et al. And they found out that in the patients already in crisis, giving them oxygen or air made no difference. Whereas in patients who were not yet in crisis, oxygen dropped the reversible sickle cells, because that's the key. Preventing those reversible sickle cells from progressing to irreversible sickle cells. Now, this whole concept has been missed by physicians, both in the United States, in Nigeria, and everywhere. But it's all there in the literature. And of course, you know, Big Pharma is not going to go and do any studies for oxygen. Nobody can file a patent on oxygen. In fact, as you're listening to this program, you're breathing oxygen in and out.
Sure.
So there's no profit for any pharmaceutical company in providing a medical gas. And so that is why this solution has been missed all these years.
Amazing. So now that this has been discovered, talking about the home oxygen therapy, yeah, do you think it will in any way whatsoever impact the talk about hospitalization rates, you know, for sickle cell patients? Is it going to have any impact, you know, on the hospitalization rate?
Absolutely. In a study in the United States, they found that 96% of admissions came from a pain crisis. 96%. In our own research, 90% of hospitalizations can be avoided. 90% by home oxygen therapy. So it's going to be a game changer. It's going to prevent hospitalizations. It's going to prevent pain and suffering. It's going to prevent multi-organ damage, and it's going to prevent death.
Okay, now that this has been discovered, would you say perhaps, maybe, now let's look at it from the medical perspective, would you say because there will definitely be a decline in hospitalization and certainly the rate and amongst others, would you say in any way this has some sort of correlation with not having discovered this earlier until this moment?
Well, again, this sickle cell is a disease 7,300 years old.
True.
So people have not understood the basis of this illness. Even in Nigeria, patients with sickle cell were called Obanke, a child born to die, because people did not have knowledge. Remember the old saying, knowledge is power. Knowledge is control. And I give an analogy of diabetes. Diabetes was a death sentence until the discovery of insulin in 1921 by Banting and Best in Canada. And when they isolated insulin, diabetes became a manageable disease. Otherwise, people were dying in their 20s. So with this home oxygen discovery, sickle cell is no longer an unpredictable disease. It's now a manageable disease where patients don't have to be afraid of having a crisis that leads to hospitalizations, and they have no control.
Thank you so much. Lagos, we have about, say, give or take 10 minutes before we call it a day on the conversation this morning. But not to forget, you can get more, you know, details as far as this discovery is concerned. You can check out the website, sicklecelldiscovery.com. You find out more information there, sicklecelldiscovery.com. And, of course, it would be most important and most useful for you. And I'm still going to talk about these. So how do you think individuals, you know, how can they take, what do they have to do, or what steps do they have to do in order to get involved, you know, support the community of sickle cell generally, especially through the sickle cell discovery? How can they, you know, lend a voice to this cause?
Well, yes, I do encourage, because right now there's a level of extreme poverty in Nigeria, and a lot of the patients even have difficulty purchasing oxygen cylinders. So I'm calling on the federal government, the Minister of Health, Professor Pate, all NGOs to come to the assistance of those who cannot afford oxygen, as well as the health insurance companies. I mean, which other intervention do you see that drops your hospitalizations by 90%? So they all need to come and contribute in essentially stopping this morbidity and mortality and this economic impact, because there's a huge economic impact to the family, to the community, to the nation, and to the world.
Amazing, amazing. And then it begs the question, moving forward, I want to know, so this is already a discovery, right? And it's a solution. So how then will there be, how do you think this can evolve, or what are the foreseeable breakthroughs that you can envision as far as this is concerned? Any thoughts on that?
Well, again, like I told you, it was just like insulin being discovered for patients with diabetes. It changed the whole paradigm for diabetic patients. And that's what home oxygen is going to do for patients with sickle cell. Right now, we have cures for sickle cell. Bone marrow transplant, gene therapy. But the obstacles are tremendous. The obstacles to access. Bone marrow transplant requires a compatible donor. And it's also very much, much more expensive than home oxygen. Gene therapy is priced at $2.2 to $3.2 million, and even one of the companies, Bluebird Bio, that makes Lyfgenia, can only do 100 patients a year. In the United States, there are 100,000 patients with sickle cell anemia. So if a company can only do gene therapy for 100 patients a year, it's going to take 1,000 years to get to the patients in the United States today. Now, compare that with Nigeria with 5 million patients. So these genetic cures are really not feasible right now. And also, very important, I must stress this to your listeners, bone marrow transplant or gene therapy do not reverse existing damage. So if a patient already has a vascular necrosis, which is damage to the hips, acute chest syndrome, kidney damage, none of those will be reversed with gene therapy. And oxygen will not reverse any existing damage either. What oxygen does is to prevent any further damage in patients who have existing damage. But oxygen is critical to all patients in preventing damage, because each time they have a sickle cell crisis, an organ or multiple organs are being damaged.
I was going to ask that question. I love the fact that you had to mention it. I want you to retreat once again so we get it clear. You just mentioned now that this doesn't necessarily reverses the damage that it's caused, but it instead perhaps puts an end to the crisis that one can experience during panic attacks. I presume what you're saying, sir.
Not panic attacks, during the sickle cell crisis,
yes.
So what it does is that By preventing a sickle cell crisis, you prevent damage from occurring. So the oxygen prevents the damage from occurring. But any pre-existing damage that has already occurred before patients start using home oxygen is cannot be reversed by either oxygen or gene therapy or bone marrow transplant. So it's important that patients get the home oxygen as soon as possible, because a one crisis is a crisis too many. And the goal is to make crisis as rare as possible, and hospitalizations even rarer.
All right, thank you. You're
and, and multiple organ damage to be a thing of the past.
Amazing. You already mentioned how, you know, government should come into play, mentioned about health insurance. You already know that as far as health insurance is concerned, in this part of the world, it's zero to nothing as far as that's concerned. So considering those that are not necessarily privy to this conversation, or those that are not necessarily, you know, privy to, you know, funds and finances and the likes, how then would you project that they go about, you know, getting things like this?
Well, I believe NGOs, there are many NGOs operating in Nigeria.
Yeah.
There are many global agencies operating in Nigeria. And I mean, and the unfortunate aspect is that when the patients get into hospital, they have to raise the funds for the hospital treatment from their family. So it's much cheaper for them to raise the funds for the home oxygen, a whole lot more cheaper than going to a hospital. There are some hospitals in Nigeria, the registration card is 100,000 naira. That's almost the price of a cylinder, just registration. So that's what they have to do. And friends and family, charitable organizations, NGOs, churches, this is a role that our churches can also play in raising funds to stop this pain and suffering and economic devastation.
Thank you so much, Dr. Shota. This is where I get to ask for your final thoughts, even as we draw the curtain on Talk to a Doctor this morning.
Yes, so my final thoughts is that I've come to share the light and take away the darkness of 7,300 years of sickle cell disease all over the world. It's a new day for people all over the world. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So, Nigeria, of course, to the listening public, there you have it. I hope you've been able to learn something new today on this special episode on, you know, sickle cell discovery and, you know, from early struggles to understanding the disease to the groundbreaking research, you know, that has now led to new treatments, new discovery and hope, especially for those that are affected. So, as it appears, the story of, you know, sickle cell discovery is a testament to the power of human curiosity and perseverance. And not to forget, thank you so much to Dr. Shota for this amazing, remarkable, you know, one-in-a-lifetime opportunity as far as this discovery is concerned. We've been talking about the sickle cell breakthrough discovery by Dr. Shota Omogwu. Not to forget, he's the MD, Medical Director of the Los Angeles Pain Clinic in Hawthorne, California. He's board-certified in anesthesia with subspecialty certification in pain medicine, California. And he's also the founder of a tech startup that's talking about Exchange Mall Super App. At the moment, his research work in pain pharmacology, anesthetic pharmacology, inflammation and inflammatory response has greatly impacted the medical field. He's a best-selling author as well, with drug handbooks published in six languages, talking about Indonesian, Italian, Japanese, Malaysian, Polish, and Portuguese. And it's been used these days by pain specialists and anesthesiologists all over the world. Once again, thank you so much, Dr. Shota, for this. And Lagos, once again, not to forget, you can reach out via the website. Yes, that's sicklecelldiscovery.com. You'll find more details on how to get that. All right, sicklecelldiscovery.com. And if you're trying to connect with us once again on Wash 94.9 FM, you can always listen live via our website, www.wash.com. wash949fm.com. Perhaps you're unable to connect. You can also connect with Radio Garden and you check out, search for Wash949. You do all to find us there. Then, of course, you can always click on your radio and look out, search out for the frequency, dial Wash949FM. That being said, Lagos, thank you so much for being a part of the conversation this morning. Coming up by 11 o'clock today on Wash94.9FM will be Flocks Half Hour. So be here and keep living.